You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
Hello, everybody. My name is Daryl.
And my name's Jessica.
And welcome back to another Botox-injected and all-enhanced episode of The Breadline Show, brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 a.m. on your dial or online at 3cr.org.au in full. High quality HD coloured sound. Life can't get any better.
Woo!
What do you think of that, Jessica?
That's pretty good. That's pretty exciting.
Oh, yes. Well. And if you're having problems with your job provider, get onto our website at auww.org.au. And there you will find information that hopefully will be of some help for you, Jessica.
Woohoo! Well, I've also got exciting news. Unfortunately, it's retrospective exciting news.
Uh-huh.
So mutual obligations were paused for today. As it's the end of the day, that's not going to make anyone's day particularly, but that they may be, this pause may be continued. Why, you might ask?
Yeah, why?
Why? Because of IT issues. Oh. Now, this is pretty hilarious to us because that's the very thing, very topic of this new report that's been done about the Department of Employment and Workplace Relations and their problems with IT.
Yeah.
This pause affects everyone on Workforce Australia Services, Workforce Australia Online, Transition to Work, Disability Employment Services, Community Development Program, Norfolk Island Employment Support Program. So that's a pause. But, of course, we want them to be not just pause. We want to get rid of them altogether.
Yeah, for sure.
The sooner the better.
Yeah.
Just dig a hole and bury them because they're obviously on their last legs. They need to be put out of their misery.
And you're saying the computers might be brought down again tomorrow. Well, if that's the case, then they won't tell anyone until Wednesday.
That's right, yes. That's last time.
Yeah. Yes, we're all getting messages and emails.
It's sort of worse than nothing to pause them for a day because they'll all be flustered. They'll be sending out lots of messages to people which are probably factually wrong.
Mm.
Like you used to get messages about an appointment after the appointment had supposedly happened.
Yeah.
And we've heard of that happening as well on the advice line.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on the websites, which, the Social Security websites. But also, if you have had problems with it, contact us at advocacy@auww.org.au. And we can give you advice. So there's a little bit more detail here about the new report. So last fortnight we talked about the ombudsman's report.
Yeah.
And now the second report came. So it's the second report. It's an independent report on unlawful Centrelink payment cancellations. So basically, the pressure's on. But while the investigations have been underway, hundreds of thousands of people on Centrelink payments continue to have their incomes payments stopped by the outsourced job centres.
Illegally.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And so Deloitte, which is a sort of notorious corporate company, they actually charged $440,000 for this report that's just been released. It's providing details of widespread legal and technical failures by the employment department in its administration of welfare compliance.
How can it cost that much?
Well,
they must have a team of lawyers working on it or
something.
There's
a bit more on that in a moment. Yeah, mm-hmm. This is a bit of info from the Anti-Poverty Centre, who have a great record of, putting things clearly and concisely.
Yeah.
So despite shocking information about their lack of care for welfare recipients, and confirmation that the system is not designed to operate in line with the law. The report claims that there are not grounds to stop the use of penalties. Well, that's no surprise to us.
No.
Because that's now one of the things that they do automatically. Of course, evidence in the report suggests the presence of systemic issues related to provider discretion, oversight and equity. So, yeah, no surprise to us, but as the Anti-Poverty Centre says, all the payment penalties, should, including suspensions, reductions and cancellations, should be stopped, and they have to should commit to permanently removing the targeted compliance framework. So that's happening. Then it's turned out there have been allegations in published in the Australian Financial Review of a possible use of AI in producing this report, which I've just been referring to. So now that's going to be investigated by another big corporate company, so who have been paid, according to the news that I've just got, they have supposedly been paid $880,000 to review the review.
Oh, my God.
So it's sort of
spending the taxpayers' money, don't
they? Yeah. Just think how much they'd save by just actually stopping the whole thing. Well, pausing it, burying it, as I said.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of unemployed people that would do it a lot cheaper, I think, you know.
Yeah.
And it'll give them a job, you know.
Yes. Well, this business of AI being used as well, it's a common little shortcut that they use. But in this case, they were charging a hefty sum to produce it. You think they might have done the work?
Yeah, you would think so. It's laziness, I think. Yeah. That's all that is. Incredible. Also, the Anti-Poverty Centre has been advised multiple occasions by the department and relevant ministers' offices that payment suspensions must remain in place because stopping them would undermine the financial viability of private providers.
Oh, dear.
Get the hanky out.
Start wiping that's the right. Tears. As my mum would say, my heart bleeds.
Oh, incredible. It's just another case of the government bending over for overseas businesses and not looking after the Australian citizens first.
Well, yes. I mean, the whole downhill spiral of when any public service is privatised, and in our case, as well as privatising, they've allowed them to do a lot of the punishing. So not just exercise coercion on people who are receiving JobSeeker and all the other payments, but also be able to punish them for a whole range of so-called crimes.
Yeah. Well, I read something also from the Anti-Poverty Centre. A lot of cancellations or suspensions happen due to people not turning up to appointments, but a lot of those appointments weren't sent out. People didn't know they had appointments.
Yeah.
Or they know that they have other commitments. They may have a part-time job or doctor's appointments or something. And so they make appointments during the time they can't come. And when they don't turn up, there goes their payments again. And then they got to go through this whole headache of appealing against it. And they don't make it easy.
No.
They should absolutely slimline that for a start.
Yeah. And as Jay explained last 2 weeks ago on the show, you know, the difference between cancellation and suspension, because cancellations are the serious ones because that means you have to reapply for your payment.
Whereas, but you have to wait, 3 months, I think?
Well, yeah.
Depends how long it's been cancelled for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the suspensions are sometimes the job centre can be contacted quickly and that can be sorted out. But even so, as I think I tried to put a comment on one of the radio shows that was discussing it a couple of weeks ago, how many people have lost their housing due to their payments being suspended, not being able to come up with the rent.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyway.
And have been reimbursing some recipients.
Right. Oh, yes.
For the money they didn't get. But big deal. Like they've already lost the house they were in or wherever they were living. So they're now out in the street and even families, right?
Yeah.
And then they're telling him, oh, you still got to look for a job.
Yeah. And,
there's no compensation for that because there's not a lot of housing around.
No. I can tell you in the next segment, you know, I've been trying to help someone get a lease and I can't believe the amount of bureaucracy that's involved with.
So, oh, I'm sure. Yeah. So it's a renter's market at the moment, isn't it?
Owner's market, I should say.
Sorry,
and not good for the renters.
Not good for the renters. Yeah. No. Delete that. I can edit that out.
All right. Okay.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
What have we got next? Oh, yes, so Kazi Blanton. She's one of my favourites, one of my new favourites.
Right.
And, she's a lively US singer, but she's actually off to a blockade-busting trip to Gaza. She's just posted today on Facebook she's off. She's going to join the boat, which again is trying to bring in goods and, you know, important medicines and food and so on. So there have been a few attempts at that. Usually the Israeli government and the IDF treat them pretty badly. Let's hope they're okay and let's hope they get through.
So you know what they need? A submarine.
Yeah.
And that way the Israeli Navy wouldn't see them coming.
Yeah,
I'm just looking at the list of groups that want to do away with the targeted compliance framework. I'll just read out a few of them.
Yeah,
here,
good
Jessica.
One. Thanks, Daryl.
Now we've got Anglicare Australia, Anti-Poverty Centre, Anti-Poverty Network South Australia, Australian Council of Social Services, Australian Unemployed Workers Union. Oh, that's us.
That's us. Yes. That's right.
Basic Income Australia, Council of Single Mothers and Their Children, Disability Advocacy Network Australia, Economic Justice Australia, Inclusion Australia, People with Disability Australia, Single Mother Families Australia and Sweltering Cities, West Australian Council of Social Services, Women with Disabilities Australia.
That's a solid list, yeah.
To
remind people who might have just tuned in, yeah, the targeted compliance framework is what we have been talking about quite a bit on the show lately. It's the system where people are penalised if they are seen to be not turning up to appointment or not having a phone interview, et cetera, et cetera. And it involves a whole lot of penalties, including a reduction in your payments, and it can be a suspension of your payments, and the worst is the cancellation.
Yeah, and this is people that do everything to the letter to, you know.
Yeah, well, you would, because you do, because it's your means of actually eating and paying the rent and so on.
Yeah, yet they still lose their payments even though they've done nothing wrong.
That's right. It's a rotten system, and it's got to go. I was mentioning before about, someone in my area where from the Bass Coast, he's having a bit of trouble, so he's got to get out of his accommodation. They've cancelled his tenancy, even though he was told, and he's actually got it in writing, he's got a tenancy till 2029. Mm-hmm. And so he's looking around for places. So I was helping him with a lease application, and did it make my brain hurt.
Yeah.
So all you have to provide 100 points of ID just to apply to rent an overpriced unit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have to put all these references in, and he had some great references, like his local pharmacist, because he's lived in the current place for about 16 years. So he had some really good references, but because there wasn't a mobile number as the person to the contact, it was a landline, I couldn't put that information into the document that I was applying on his behalf for the lease. And it just completely drove me mad. I mean, here he had some good references.
Hang on a minute. They wouldn't accept a landline phone number?
The form wouldn't accept a landline. So the form that I was keying the information into would reject it.
Oh, you were doing this on computer.
Yeah, I had
computer.
To do it all online, yeah.
All online, right.
And so I was helping because I've got a scanner and so on. So, it was just terrible. And he's still being held up waiting to hear if he's actually going to get the lease on this property, this overpriced property. Mm. So, yeah, you don't want to be looking for accommodation. So, anyway, fingers crossed he'll get somewhere.
Well, what's worse, you know, an Eastside agent's got a lot of information about you now.
Oh, yeah, about him, really, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Well, what are they going to, what do you think they'll do with that?
Yeah,
probably,
and of course.
Sell it or something.
Yeah, who knows, or it could get hacked. I've got another thing here. Is this a good time for reading this out?
Yeah.
So I've been carrying this into 3CR for a few weeks. I got it up at the Anti-Poverty Summit up in Brisbane. And it's a little zine that someone's put together, rating things people have said to me as an ambulatory wheelchair user. Ambulatory means that we can stand and or walk to some extent. So she's put together her most unfavourite comments, starting with the worst ones and then going to the not so bad ones.
Uh-huh.
So thanks, Oliver Violet, for this. You don't look like you need that or any of those variations. She hates that one. It's minus 10,000 out of 10. And so basically, because it's not original, I know I get that a lot, and it's a boring comment. So that's the worst thing. She hates.
What's that? Minus
10,000 out of 10. It just means that it's really a bad rating. So the next comment she gets is, it's a miracle, or any other statement of surprise when I move my legs or stand. Ambulatory wheelchair use is definitely more common than this person realises. Overused. So that's minus 10 out of 10. Sucks you need to use that today. Bro, my wheelchair allows me to exist in a world in ways I could not without it. My worst health days in public are always when I don't use my chair. So minus 6 out of 10, she's rated that.
Right.
So side note, don't say confined to a wheelchair or wheelchair bound. Chairs give people mobility they otherwise wouldn't have. They give people freedom of movement.
Yeah, they would too. Yeah. It may make a huge difference.
You didn't need that last week. Why do you need it today? Maybe don't ask about the medical health situation of people you barely know. Not a good opening line in a conversation. 1 out of 10. Instead, try just not mentioning it, not acting weird, no staring, chill, complimenting my wheelchair. I love her. Thank you. If I'm not using my chair, asking if you can grab me a chair or anything far away like food from a snack table is always much appreciated. And so that was created by Oliver Violet on Sovereign Yagara Turrbal and Yagarapul country in Magadin.
Oh, nicely put together.
Yeah, nice. But
one of those, I've seen for years, people will take their electric wheelchair to the supermarket or the shop, and then they park it out the front and they go walking in. So that's not something that's unusual.
Yeah,
a lot of them can manage to walk short distances, like up and down a couple of aisles or something in the supermarket, but then they can't handle the walk home.
Yeah, so maybe wheelchairs or maybe sort of different forms of mobility are getting a little bit more often used, which is a good thing. But I reckon wheelchairs still have a bit of a bad image. Or anyway, this is what Oliver Violet has experienced.
I think they're a real good thing if it helps them to get out and about, instead of being stuck inside all the time.
That's right, and as she said, it's actually, it means that you haven't got sore limbs and so on.
Yeah,
so all things that you pick up around the place as an anti-poverty activist.
Yeah. Now, this did start at the 1st of July. Yeah, I think you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago too, Jessica, and I came across it again. The Disability Employment Service is now rebranded as Inclusive Employment Australia.
Okay, yeah, I've got something on that, and it hasn't quite started yet. They're doing the rebrand, right? They're starting to send out emails to people right now. I've got someone's shared a copy of the letter that they got, and it's going to start in November, if I remember rightly.
November.
Yeah. Let's have a look. Yeah. I'm just looking at it on the phone.
You know we're on air here, don't you?
Yes. You surprised me with that one. No, 1st of November, I was correct.
Yeah.
So the good thing is that you can choose your provider. You can plan to change your provider at any time, which you could before, but it's more sort of playing around with the detail, really. There will be more providers with expertise in working with people with different abilities or from different backgrounds. There will be no more time limits, so you can keep working with your provider as long as you need. Providers will be more responsive. You can be on the program even if you only work a few hours a week. Even around more people will be able to access the services, and mm-hmm. there'll be no changes to your work or payments. So, okay, that sort of sounds fine in theory, but let's not forget that usually with these bureaucracies, there are sort of glitches or problems in some way. So let's hope that not many, too many people, those sort of problems in the process of changing over. But there's a couple of months before that change happens.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit about it today, actually, on the internet. They were saying things similar to what you just mentioned. And I couldn't help thinking, I've read all this before. Like when they cut out sickness benefits and started disability employment services. I wouldn't mind checking if you can get the same hype from that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if it's the same as what they're saying about the Inclusive Employment Australia, word for word.
Well, you know, expensive rebrand is what most people are saying. and I was researching it a couple of days ago, and I noticed that the company that is doing the rebrand was getting quite, you know, a lot of publicity for themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So onwards. So if you do have problems with your payments, email us at advocacy@auwu.org.au. And soon we hope to have the advice line up and running.
Yes, keep our fingers crossed on that one. And when they do start this Inclusive Employment Australia, we'll wait and see how many complaints we get about it, and then we'll be able to more accurately assess it.
Yes, and there is still the complaints line, which you can complain about any of the job centres that you are coerced into seeing. So that's a fairly new innovation.
Yeah.
Next show we might actually read out that number, you know, for people who might want to directly complain.
Yeah. Well, for our
about advice. Treatment, but from the job centres.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We've come to the end of the show now. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to join us again next week, same time. Stay tuned for the Eritrean Voice Show coming right up. My name is Daryl.
And I'm Jessica.
You have been listening to Breadline, brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 a.m. on your dial or online at 3cr.org.au.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.